You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. The discrimination Asian Americans have dealt with in the United States has a long history. The Chinese Exclusion Act was a federal law signed in 1882, prohibiting all immigration of Chinese laborers. And right here in Idaho, the Minidoka Relocation Center was in operation from 1942 to 1945. It was one of 10 camps where Japanese Americans, both U.S. citizens and non-citizens, were interned during World War II. At its peak, Minidoka housed close to 10,000 Japanese Americans. Joining me live in studio to talk more about how this led to exclusion from American politics and culture is Associate Professor of American Studies at Amherst College, Robert Hayashi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So you are in town giving a presentation today. And talk to me, though, about how Asian Americans have, over the years, responded to this exclusion, because there was really no other term for it except for exclusion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things, some of the points that I want to make tonight, and I'll be speaking at the Fettuccine Forum downtown, the City Hall, is that it's important to recognize that Asians have not accepted this. We're often seen, right, as a sort of quiet and easygoing kind of group that does not rock the boat, but that we've always contested these things. So the Chinese Exclusion Act, for instance, was challenged in the courts by numerous plaintiffs. And other measures have been challenged through the courts, and not only through the legal system, but also other acts of resistance, such as the Chinese Exclusion Act required Chinese to register with authorities. Many just refused to register. Mm-hmm. This was an organized effort as well. So it's important to understand that not only individual Asians have acted in resistance to these measures, denying them the perquisites of American society, including just inclusion to come into the United States, but also citizenship, but that they've also at times done so collectively, pooling things like resources. I'm going to be talking about a court, that court case in which Chinese Americans laundrymen were targeted, their businesses in San Francisco, and they organized, pooled their resources to hire one of the best attorneys in San Francisco.
And this was in the 1970s, successful. Right?
This was in the 19th century.
Okay.
But of course, the case that I'm going to be talking to, the reason that this case is relevant is because in the 1970s, a man in upstate New York who was required to cut off his, I assume it was ponytail. I think he was a kind of a hippie of the day. Mm. And he had been arrested for drug charges, and he was given a year-long sentence of weekends in the county jail, and he was going to have his hair cut. And so he used these cases, his attorneys used these cases to argue his case.
Mm.
So these 19th century cases regarding Chinese migrants were suddenly relevant to this 1970s hippie, I guess it were, who was arrested on drug charges.
So there really is a long history of activism,
yeah,
I think, within the Asian American community. But as you said, there are these stereotypes,
yes,
about
absolutely
the Asian American community. So talk to me, though, about, with this activism, it's really shaped certain civil liberties.
Yes. Yes. So that, and the case that I'm referring to is Yick Wo versus Hopkins. So this becomes a really important case decades later, as it really establishes equal protection, because the law that they were contesting was a law, an ordinance that the city of San Francisco had put in place, which seemed like a reasonable public safety measure, which was that laundry businesses had to be in brick or stone buildings, right? And so on its face value, it seemed a reasonable measure, mm-hmm. given how many cities were really destroyed because of the wooden structures. And San Francisco later was in 1906 with the earthquake.
Right.
But it gave the possibility for operators to get a waiver by appealing to the city. And what happened is the majority of these, about two-thirds of these laundries, were owned by Chinese. And only one Chinese out of 200 who applied for this waiver were given one, while all white operators were given them. So the law, while seemed non-prejudicial, its application was prejudicial. And so that established this concept in American civil rights law that a law, if its application is prejudicial, then it is unconstitutional. That becomes really important then in the 1960s during the civil rights era, as this case is used to strike down a lot of measures in the Jim Crow South. And it's been cited in over 150 Supreme Court cases.
So let's come to present day and what is going on nationally with immigration.
Sure.
And about Asian Americans really not being represented in a lot of our discussion.
No.
Around immigration, around national security.
Yes. Yeah. And that, again, is one of the things that I'm going to be addressing, because I think that's really an excellent point, that immigration is really just talked about as the border, meaning our southern border.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there has been a siphoning off of legal immigration that has disproportionately affected people in the Asian community, particularly H-1B visa holders or applicants. So a lot of the H-1B holders are people, and these are visas that are for people of particularly unique skills or highly educated, right? So these are a lot of people in technology, right? And a lot of the people who are holders of these are people from India particularly.
Mm.
And the Trump administration has now really put a delay on the processing of these, so that the time period for these to be processed has now doubled in the last year. In addition to that, they have also are trying to institute a new measure that would bar H-1B visa holder spouses from being able to work. This obviously has real consequences on these families in terms of their income, in terms of childcare,
mm-hmm.
in terms of whether or not they're going to be able to stay in.
Just
yes, exactly.
Life.
Stay in the United States, and whether they'll, and that also affects the possibility of a green card for the spouse as well.
Hmm.
So this is another measure that will disproportionately affect people in the Asian American community, but really is not part of the discourse in the media today about measures relating to immigration.
Well, it truly has not been a real part of the conversation in this at all. I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this. I've been talking with Associate Professor of American History at Amherst College, Robert Hayashi. He will be speaking this evening in downtown Boise. Thank you for your time
and coming in.
And I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters today. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to listen and to participate. My producers are Samantha Wright and Richard Copeland. Our associate producer is Hannah Gardosky. And our intern is Ethan Weber. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It is Thursday. The week's just flying by. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.